We now turn to one of the most famous stories in Tanakh, which is chapter 18 of Melachim Aleph. One of the most famous stories that you know, but when you look at it, and you begin to analyze it a little more in depth, you begin to realize that there's a little more subtlety and a few more questions than you originally thought, and we originally realized, and it's worthwhile to study in depth. Unfortunately, it's a rather long chapter, so we have to, I don't want to say run through the chapter, but go through it, and then we'll ask some questions, and maybe we'll come to some answers. This is the story of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, right? Eliyahu on Mount Carmel, okay? Which is, does anybody not know the story? You didn't read ahead? You have until now.
At least I got to take a shower.
Okay. Vayihi. So remember, what did up to this point, Eliyahu has made a decree. What was the decree?
Oh, no rain.
No rain. Right? And he's in the middle of it. It's very hard to say this, but he's in the middle of an argument with God. It's an ongoing argument. Eliyahu says, no rain. And God says, yes rain.
What?
And the irony is, though, while they're in the middle of arguing, God is acknowledging and sort of honoring Eliyahu's wishes. Right, you said no rain? Okay, no rain. I think you're wrong, but I'll listen to you. You know, out of respect to you. Which is very unusual and very interesting. And we spoke at length about what was the nature of the argument between God and Eliyahu. We're going to see this in the Midrash again today, or I'll see it. I didn't make sheets for you. But I'll read it to you. And we're going to see that this argument continues, that Eliyahu is a very subtle and a complicated figure. He's right. He's of course right. But he's not. You know, I mean, isn't every person who's right also wrong? But that's the reality. That's the truism in life. Right? Not everything is so cut and dry. Not everything is so obviously simple. Perek Yotzet. Vayihi Yamim Rabim. And it was, Yamim Rabim means...
many days.
The word of God was to Eliyahu in the third year. The third year of what?
The drought.
Of the drought. Right, no rain. Saying, go show up to Ahab because I want it to rain. By the way, so there's an internal contradiction in the verse. What's the internal contradiction? Just in the pasuk itself.
God wants it to rain, won't it rain?
See, again, therein lie the complication. God clearly wants it to rain, but he won't make it rain until Eliyahu shows up in front of Ahab and tells him it's going to rain. Why? Well, here's the question. When it starts to rain, is Ahab going to say it was the work of God?
No, he's going to say it's the work of Eliyahu.
He's going to say because we repented? No, he's going to say
chance.
He's going to say
sometimes it rains.
You believe in your guy? So he says Eliyahu's going to say, well, how did I know it was going to rain? What's he going to say?
You had a 50-50 chance.
No, come on, how did Eliyahu know it was going to rain? You have arthritis. Everybody who has arthritis knows it's going to rain.
And you picked on Prevera.
Good.
Your wrist doesn't hurt you more when it starts to rain? What's that mean? That's all. I don't want. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm taking the foot out of the mouth as we speak. Okay. So that's exactly what Achim is going to say. So then, meaning Ahab, no matter what, is so entrenched, so mired in the idolatry, that nothing is really, I mean, there are people like that, that nothing you say is going to really change their mind. And that's Eliyahu's point. That God, you know, no matter what you do, it's going to continue like this. We have to let them know.
So 3 years of drought meant nothing to them. Is that what
Well, I wouldn't say it meant nothing to them. They're hungry.
But they haven't stopped...
sinning?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. As we'll see. Okay, but what's the internal contradiction in the pasuk? There's an internal contradiction in the pasuk. Nobody sees it? It's a chronological contradiction. How long did it take between the time of Eliyahu saving that boy's life and now?
3 years, it looks.
3 years.
Right. Because
right. How, in your lady, does Anubi describe that through those 3 years? What words does Anubi use to describe those 3 years?
Yamim rabim.
Vayhi bayamim harabim. Vayhi yamim rabim. Yamim rabim means?
Many days.
Is 3 years many days?
Yes. When there's a drought, sure it is.
That's exactly what the Midrash says. Exactly what the Midrash says. The Midrash says, no, 3 years is not such a long time. When you're in pain, 3 years is an eternity. When there's no food, 3 years can be a long time. So that's what he means, Yamim Rabim. So Eliyahu has to go to Achav. Vayelech Eliyahu leharot el Achav. Ve'harav chazak b'shomron. So Eliyahu goes to show up to Achav. And the famine is great in the Shomron. Vayikra Achav el Ovadyahu asher al habayit. Ovadyahu is in charge of Achav's household. Ovadyahu haya yarei et Hashem ma'od. Ovadyahu was exceedingly fearful of God. Vayhi, and it was, the hachrit Izabel ate Nevi'ei Hashem, vayikach Ovadyahu mi'ed me'a Nevi'im vayachbiyim chamishim ishba me'ara v'kil kolam lechem v'mayim. So Izabel, who is the lovely wife of King Achab, what did she decide?
She
wiped out every prophet of God she could find, she killed. So if you think religious persecution is bad under the non-Jews,
when there's worse under the Jews.
Worse under the Jews. She killed out, and people aren't aware of that. She killed out the Nevi'ei Hashem.
Was she Jewish?
Izabel?
No.
But she was married to one.
Yeah.
I mean, normally the intermarried couples are the nicest ones. You know? No? At least nowadays. Okay.
Is the book of Obadiah then
different Obadiah,
than different
one? I think it's a different one. I'm almost sure it's a different Obadiah. Almost positive. But you'd have to ask my wife. Okay? So, but this Obadiah was in charge of, no, maybe not.
It's the same story where he hid the prophets in the cave.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's the same guy.
It's here.
Is it the same story?
Is it
in the scroll? I don't know. I mean, I probably should know, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the symbol of Obadiah.
Here it is. Obadiah was a righteous prophet. His is the fourth book of the Treyas.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, you figure Rabbi Scroll will get it. and he knows what he's talking about. Okay, very good. Obadiah was exceedingly fearful of God. You can imagine this prophet, this fear God-fearing man. Like, imagine what happens if his boss's wife finds out that he's a prophet.
I was going to say, how does she not know?
Well,
yes,
how do you know who prophets are? Prophets are.
Yeah, they don't walk around with.
Here's a better question.
They tell you.
How many prophets were there?
Oh, many. Many. Wasn't
there just one at a time?
No. Many.
How
do
you know who
listened
to?
Yeah. What do you mean? They went all.
I always thought there was like one at a time.
You think they were saying opposite things?
Well, if they were two prophets, they'd be saying the same thing.
Right. Okay. I mean, most of what they were saying probably was.
Not true.
No. Most of what the prophets are saying is,
change your ways,
repent, and they say it in all kinds of different ways. You have to understand that how many lahavdil, how many Talmidei Chachamim are there today? Great scholars. What?
Thousands.
Is it not very many?
Besides me.
Yeah, right, exactly. There are lots, right? But and it's all a question of levels. So prophecy is also a level of personal spiritual growth. The Rambam says a person can achieve prophecy. Right? If they've achieved a certain level of personal development and growth and greatness and self-discipline and all the things, so that was a goal of people. Nowadays, prophecy is gone from us, so you just study the Torah. But there was a time when the studying of the Torah was led to another level. So there are many prophets. So you can imagine, by the way, if you know, the wife of the king wipes out all of the, you know, Rosh Yeshivas. Why? Because she has no patience for these Rosh Yeshivas anymore, so she wipes them all out. You know, where are you going to go? You're living in the Jewish kingdom, imagine. So Obadiah hides 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave in order to protect them and keep them safe.
But he gave them lechem where's his mind?
He fed them, right.
If there's this famine going on and this drought going on, mm-hmm. How the heck did he manage to feed 100 people?
He's an overseer for the king.
He's in charge.
Go hungry.
Right.
100 nubbies sounds like a lot. And he just sounds like a lot of
prophets?
Yeah.
I think she wiped out probably, I would have to guess, and then I'm totally guessing she wiped out probably 90-95% of them.
Wow.
No, it just sounds like a lot to have walking around.
So have
you know, I always got the
time.
Impression there was like one, you know, and you listened to him, and that, you know, not they were hundreds.
Okay.
Just saying.
I think your impression was not accurate.
Oh, apparently.
Yeah, no, I really think it's right. I mean, also...
We didn't have cable back then. One prophet couldn't prophesize over the other.
Right, remember.
They had regions. They had...
Right, you would go to your... You would go to your local prophet. You know, and I think, obviously, you have to remember, there's obviously levels of prophets as well. Not everybody is on the level of the great prophets, of Nathan and Shmuel. You know what I'm saying? The great prophets were, they reached prominence. You think that just by chance you get to be the prophet to the king about national things? First you start as a prophet apprentice, I'm sure, you know, and you work your way up in the prophet ranks until you become a lead prophet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm joking in a little bit.
Right.
What? Right, Shaul also prophesies, and that's exactly the point. Prophecy is not just for prophets. I mean, David HaMelech had a level of Ruach HaKodesh as well. And you can see it. We believe, to some degree, that great spiritual leaders, even today, right, they're guided by divine influence. Right? We say something like that.
Oh, there are plenty of people wandering around saying, God told me this and that.
No. Nowadays, if someone is, he's not going to tell you.
I actually got a couple of them.
What did their blood alcohol say? Yeah, okay. So, V'yomer Achav El Obadiahu. Lech ba'aret el kol ma'aneh ha'mayim ve'el kol ha'nechalim ula nimta chatsir u'nechayeh sus v'pered v'lo nechit mi'ha'behima. So the animals were clearly dying of thirst. So he says, do me a favor, you go, we've got to start traveling around, see if there's any wells left. It's really bad. So you go one way, I'll go the other way, and we'll see if one of us finds water. V'yechalku lehem et ha'aret la'avor ba Achav halach v'derech echad levado v'Ovadiyahu halach v'derech echad levado. Achav went one way, Ovadiyahu went another way. I doubt it means alone. Probably means, you know, without each other. Because I don't imagine Achav went on a walk by himself, but you never know. V'yehi Ovadiyahu perek pasuk zayin. V'yehi Ovadiyahu b'derech v'hinei Eliyahu likrato. Behold, right? Eliyahu shows up. V'yaki rehu. V'yipol al panav. He recognized him and he fell on his face. V'yomer. Eliyahu, is it you, Eliyahu? Now, by the way, it's significant that he recognized him because he knew who Eliyahu was. Most people would not recognize him. You have to remember, like nowadays, we live in an incredible visual time. An incredibly visual time. I mean, you know, everybody recognizes one another, and you've seen, you know, video and pictures and whatever. Eliyahu, now he probably walked around with a great deal of anonymity. Because nobody knew where he was unless he announced himself. How would you know? Okay, Vayomer lo, as he says, is that you, Eliyahu? Vayomer lo ani. That's me. You know, because they're all wondering what happened to him, because, why do they need him?
No water.
Last time I saw him, he said no more rain.
Right, and since that time, there hadn't been no rain. Lech amor la'adunecha hinei Eliyahu. He says, go tell your master, I'm back. Okay, Vayomer mechatas is great. He says, what have I done to you? If I go to him and tell him, I found Eliyahu, what's he going to do?
Kill me.
You know what they say, don't kill the messenger? He does, you know. So, Chai Hashem, as God lives, Elokecha, your God,
if you're struggling, whoever put out the door, they should put a sign in the canopy. People are eating, making mistakes.
I'm sure
everybody knows.
Okay, I can grab out a Dunkin' Donuts box. I'll be right back.
Yeah, why don't you put it in a thanks, ma'am. Not all of them. Sometimes they don't know. Usually they come from demons. Yeah. Sometimes. It's a possible mistake.
I didn't eat dinner, so when she came and I saw the donut,
okay.
You didn't eat them.
If I hadn't eaten dinner, I would have eaten the donuts.
Pardon me?
So that's the between you and me. If you didn't eat dinner, you won't eat the donuts. If I don't eat dinner, I eat more donuts. Okay. Chai Hashem is God. Kalokechas, your God lives. In Yesh Goyim Amlacha Shalosh Shalach Aroni Sham Levakeshcha VeAmru Ayin. He has been searching for you high and low. You have the key to the water. What do you think he's been looking for you? What does he want from you? Well. He was going to squeeze it out of you, okay? And he made us swear and promise, right, that they would rat you out. Why? Because he couldn't find you. He was trying to find you. He was searching for you up and down. And by the way, he did not find him. Which means what?
He's been in hiding.
Well, he's not been in hiding. He's living with that woman, right? But he's walking around that city. It wasn't meant to be found. Thank you, Mary. So the Midrash, what?
He saved the boy, so his fame must have spread.
Well, I mean, unless she didn't tell anybody. She didn't tell anybody he was dead. Mm-hmm. Right, there was no news, you know. The Midrash says something very, very interesting. It's a fascinating Midrash. The Midrash says, why in the world did the Jews, who were so full of idolatry, why did they merit it? Why did they win wars? I mean, how could they, you know, it's one thing that, you know, God doesn't punish them, but how could they survive? Why did God allow them to persevere? So the Midrash says, Dor shel Achav, Ovdei Avodah Zarah hayu, they were idolaters, Va'al yidei shelo haya lehem dilitorin, but because they didn't have snitches, hayu yorgim lemilchama v'notchim, they would go to war and they would win. Okay? And that's why, by the way, and the Midrash says, that's why, by the way, they could never find Eliyahu. Because every time somebody went looking for Eliyahu, have you seen Eliyahu?
No.
Which Eliyahu? I know many. You know what I'm saying? You know. And also, like, who said it? How hard would it be to feed 100 Nevi'im under the, you know, you think that Obadiahu could feed and water 100 Nevi'im on his own?
No.
So how did that not get back to Achav? The answer is, there was a code. It was understood. You didn't snitch. You didn't tell anybody. And that's why God at least, even though they were idolatrous, God respected the fact that they cared for one another, that they took care of each other. And by the way, we've seen this before, we see it time and time again, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is almost, and maybe not even almost, more concerned about how we treat one another than he is about how we treat him. 100%. Right? That, you know, and then we worship the Egel Hazav, and all right, whatever, you know, punished, it's bad. More concerned with how we treat one another than how we treat the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is much more concerned with mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro and mitzvos bein adam l'mako. And that's a very, you know, it's always a big criticism upon us that, you know, we in the Orthodox community, we're so concerned about ritual, we're so concerned about doing mitzvos properly. But, you know, how concerned are we with Adam HaVeiro, about our fellow men? How devoted are we to Jews, to any Jews? You know, I had to donate food to Yad Ezra. I had some food from Pesach or whatever, so I dropped it off. You go, there's like a party there. There's people begging, you know, whatever, and people really give their all to it. It's a beautiful thing. It was so moving, mm-hmm. You know, to see people so motivated to help other people. And one gets the sense that, although people in the firm community certainly are Baalei Chesed, but there's an aspect of something missing in us. We're so preoccupied with our ritual that we short shrift the other side, the aspect of caring for other people. Okay, that was the Midrash. They can't find you. You know, Jata, Ata Omer, Lechem, Ola, Niyahu, Adonecha, Hinei, Liyahu. Now you want me to go say, here he is? So I'm going to say, hey, I found him. Where is he? Some spirit of God is going to pick you up and drop you God knows where. Right? I'm going to come and say, he was right there. And what's going to, and Aracha is going to say, he was right there? See you later. I'm a God-fearing man. Do me a favor, leave me alone. Hello, God, Adoni, Eid Asher Asiti, Baharog, Izebel, Eid Nevi'e Hashem, Vachvim, Nevi'e Hashem, Mea Ish, Chamishim, Chamishim Ish, Bama'ara, Vachal Kain, Lechem, Vamayim. Hello, God means? Translate. Can you translate the beginning of 13? It was told or it was not told?
Has it not been told
to my Lord?
Has it not been told? Oh, I don't understand. So therefore he wants, and therefore he will kill me, or he doesn't know?
Has it not been told to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of Hashem?
Isn't he saying, don't you, Eliyahu, know what I've done?
Oh, don't you, Eliyahu, know what I've done? Oh, meaning why are you trying to punish me? Why are you trying to get me killed? Oh, yeah, right. Don't you know? Good. Now I'm going to go tell him, hey, Eliyahu's here, he's going to kill me, he's going to have me killed. So why are you sending me on this death mission if I'm such a good guy? Thank you very much. Tezva, Vayom Eliyahu, Chai Hashem Tzvakot, Asher Amazi Lefanav, Ki Ayom Eira'e. He says, go tell him, do me a favor, stop talking, I promise you I'll show up. Okay, it's very strange, I'm still a little troubled by why the Navi feels it necessary to share that whole little dialogue between Ovadia and Eliyahu, what the point of the dialogue.
Is there also a reason why he can't just show up himself?
Why does he have to be an
Why Eliyahu can't just go to him and say, I'm here?
I think that was his way of doing it. You know, you don't just walk into somebody, you tell them to go tell Eliyahu. Eliyahu's here, tell you, he wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Right? I mean, it's a way of respect.
He is a king, after all.
And Eliyahu's a prophet. He should be announced. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Vayelcha Ovadia likrat Achav vayaged lo. So yeah, Ovadia goes to tell Achav, and vayelcha Achav likrat Eliyahu. And Achav goes to meet Eliyahu. Vayehi kiraot Achav et Eliyahu. Vayomer Achav elav. Hatazeh ocher Yisrael. Is that you, the destroyer of Israel? It's the Jew killer, the famine monger, the hunger lord of Israel? Is that you? Is it? What's Achav saying?
It's because of you that we have all this drought. It's because of you all the Jews are dying. It's because of you that everybody's in
this
famine.
Right?
Ay, 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 ay.
Yeah, right. The truth shall set you free.
Oh, yeah, real free.
Right. I mean, so it seems that Achav does seem to think that Eliyahu has something to do with it.
Right.
In fact, he thinks that Eliyahu is solely responsible. So I don't know if he thinks he did it through sorcery or he did it by asking God. What? Whatever. Right. You are the person that's responsible. And what does Eliyahu say?
I need to find out.
Clearly the message is just not getting.
Mayomer, lo acharti et Yisrael. I didn't do it. Ki'im ata ubeit avicha. You did it. Ve'azvechem et mitvat Hashem. When you abandoned the word of God and you followed the Baalim, you were the one that destroyed the people of Israel. Mm. Who's right?
People.
They're both right. This is not a simple matter. If God came and said, I'm stopping the rain, Eliyahu would clearly be right and he wouldn't be responsible. But in a sense, Achav is saying, you're the one that's doing this. Now, Achav doesn't know to what degree that's true. Achav thinks it's all his fault because, you know what I'm saying? Because God doesn't, there is no God or whatever, that God could care less. And Eliyahu somehow found a key to stop the rain. What Achav doesn't know is Eliyahu did stop the rain in order to send a message. And now he has to come in, like, you know, with his tail between his legs and say, well, you know, I changed my mind and it's going to rain and, you know, it'll be okay.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, who's right?
Sometimes you learn lessons the most harsh way possible.
Let me do a midrash, a powerful midrash. Okay. When God first came to Eliyahu and said, go tell Achav, I'm starting up the rain again. Hayah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is in the midrash Tehillim, Shochar Tov. Hayah HaKadosh Baruch Hu mifateach le'Eliyahu sheyelech v'yireh el Achav. Right? God mifateach was nudging, I would say. Bogging Eliyahu, go, do, go. Amalo Eliyahu, Eliyahu said to God, Heich ani holech? Go. How am I supposed to go? Why shouldn't he go? Why not? Why does Eliyahu not want to go?
Because he
had a tshuva. Now you want me to go? You know, it's like a strike. You know, and the strike is getting really bad. Who was it, American Axel, like 2 months in now?
Yeah.
The strike's getting bad, and the people are starting to say, you know, it's bad. Who caused the strike? Did management cause the strike? Did labor cause the strike? Market forces. So the guys need paychecks, so they're going back to the guy. They stop guys and say, we gotta go. We gotta end the strike. Come to a settlement. Right? And the union leaders say, no. Now's the worst time to call off the strike, because now is when management is hurting.
But you can't give up yet.
Now there's pressure. That's what Eliyahu says. Now go, 3 years in, Achav is feeling the heat. His animals are going to start to die soon. Maybe he'll do tshuva. Says God, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said, Kishayiti mashket olami, adam achad haya ba'olam, ishketi talami ba'avuro. When there was one person in the world, I brought water to the whole world for him. V'achshav, and now, go to Achav. Give him rain. What's God say? In the midrash.
When there was
only one person in the world, I still put water in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
What's God say? So I'm going to read you a different version of that midrash. The Midrash says almost the same thing, but it adds the following. Even though it's possible, that it's possible that that person will sin, nonetheless, I still gave the water. He says, even so, now, nonetheless, it's my rain. I want them to have water however they are. So this is a fight between Eliyahu and God. Eliyahu says they don't deserve rain, and God says,
I'm going to give it if it's mine.
Sometimes it's like this classical parent fight, where one parent will say, no, Johnny doesn't deserve the ice cream. He didn't clean up his room. And the other parent says, I want him to have ice cream. I'm giving him ice cream. You're just reinforcing bad behavior. I want him to have the ice cream.
But God said some time ago, I will do this if you do this. It's not like, I'm making this decision.
Oh, you're right. You never made a threat to your children.
No, but mm-hmm. I'm not God. I mean, God, it's in print. God said this.
Yes. Just as you are not God that can smite as hard as God, your compassion is nowhere near as great as God's compassion.
Okay.
And your desire for your children to succeed is nowhere near as great as God's compassion. Who else had another argument with God about this issue? Anybody know? What?
Yonah.
Who?
God to forgive.
Good. Who else? One more person.
Yonah,
this is the argument. Remember, Yonah, this is the argument. Don't forgive them. Smite them.
Hard nose.
What? Smiting good. And God says no. Why? What's the end? What's the end of Yonah? Sounds very familiar. The end of Yonah is there are a bazillion people there. And animals, and it's a city. You care about a plant? I've got a city here. You just want to smite them? So, and is Eliyahu right? He's right. But sometimes you could be right and still be wrong. He's right, but he's wrong. And it does make his point harder to make mm-hmm. when the rain comes. And God just doesn't want it to happen. Let's go back to... Okay. So is that you, the Ocher Yisrael? And by the way, this is a great tactic in negotiations. Right? People do this all the time. They say, well, I'm going to have to cut off funding for your project, and it's going to be your responsibility. Right? So what do you have to answer to that? If you want to save your project? If you cut a funding to my project, it's not my responsibility, it's your responsibility. You know what I'm saying? That, what?
My on your name.
Right. Right. people very often do that, manipulative people very often do that. They shift blame in order to absolve themselves of responsibility. Aha! It's Eliyahu, the destroyer of Israel. Me?
You brought it
upon
yourself.
That's exactly what he says. You abandoned God's commandments. It's not my fault. It's your fault. Just shape up and it'll be fine. Vata. And now. Shlach kavots Eli et kol Yisrael el Har HaKarmel. I want you to gather all of Israel to Har HaKarmel. Et nivyei habal arba me'od v'chamishim. I would like, if you wouldn't mind, 450 prophets of the Baal. Unevieha Ashera arba me'ot ochlei shulchan Izeva. Oh, and remember Izeva killed all the prophets of God? So instead, she got prophets of the Baal, right? Prophets of the idolatry, and she feeds them. She takes care of them. Okay, now what are these prophets of the Baal?
I don't worship.
Does the Baal have to give prophecy?
No.
So then what are they?
Not false prophets.
Right, they're false prophets. They're charlatans. Why are they charlatans?
Because there's nothing for them to... Who are they prophesying for?
No, but why are they doing it if it's false?
Well, because it's good business. They get good treatment.
That's right. That's right. It doesn't matter. You could be a great reverend. Doesn't matter if you cheat on your wife with a parishioner and you go marry somebody else. It's all right. It's okay. As long as you're charismatic enough.
That happens. My goodness.
In theory. I don't know theory. Specifically. I've heard about that. Who calls him Reverend Rule?
I do.
That's your stick? Well, that should be something like he picked up on talk radio or something. No. I'm surprised. Okay.
Oh, they just got him.
Yeah. Obama's not his minister, his non-minister.
His former.
His former Rebbe. Okay.
His 20-year. His former 20-year Rebbe.
What?
He just realized
it.
After 20 years. Never mind.
I want to get. And poor Reverend Wright is not going to know. He doesn't, he doesn't want the divorce. Right. Wants to negotiate terms. Okay. So I want the prophets. Send them out. We're going to have a little competition. You got it. Now, before we go on, I want to ask a very simple question. Everybody knows what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? There's going to be a competition between Acha, between Eliyahu, and the Nevi'i Habav. Who is the real prophet? Whose God is the real God? Who told Eliyahu to do this? What did God tell Eliyahu to do?
To go to Ahab and give him his stinking ring.
Okay? And what does Eliyahu say? I'm going.
But before I go.
He goes to Ahab. They're talking to Ahab. And he says, oh, by the way, I've got an idea. You're up for a competition. You're a competitive guy. What do you think?
Sure. Oh, sure. It sounds like great.
We have no inclination, no indication that Eliyahu is instructed to create this. You know, maybe he was. I don't know. But I'm saying there's no indication. God did not say, go to Ahab and make this incredible show on Har HaKarmel and demonstrate the dominion of God.
So he's through the form. He wasn't told to do before he's following him.
Does God want Ahab Eliyahu to do this show?
How do we know?
Not necessarily.
Right. We're going to see that. Eliyahu is what's called a kanai. This is his personality. A kanai is a zealot. A kanai is someone who is right, and he will do whatever he needs to do in order to prove that he's right. Like stop the rain. That's example A. So God says to Eliyahu, just go turn on the rain. And Eliyahu doesn't turn on the rain yet. It'll come. He's gone. He has to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he's got to do something else first. Before I turn on the rain, I need to take one last chance. Maybe I can turn them around. You know? So, Pasuk Chavala, 21. Vayigash Eliyahu Koham. So he gathers all the people, Vayomer! And he says to them, by the way, go to Har Carmel today, to this spot. And kind of reenact it. Ad Matai Temple Shema Steh Si'ifim. A very famous phrase in Tanakh. There's a term, poseach al stei ha-se'ifim. Right? What's the English idiom for poseach al stei ha-se'ifim? Straddling the fence. You don't use to straddle the fence?
Yeah.
But you're playing, you're dancing at both chasanas. Right? How much longer are you going to do this for? Im Hashem Elokim, l'kuach l'kuach harab. If God is God, fine. Im Habal, l'kuach harab. And if the Baal is true God, then do it. Then what were the Jewish people doing? It's very hard to imagine, but this is exactly what they're doing. They were shomer Torah u'mitzvos. They, I dare say, probably kept kosher, put on tefillin, kept Shabbos, and worshipped idols. But we imagine idolatry being completely exclusionary to a Jewish way of life. But it's not that way.
No.
It doesn't have to be that way.
You
also, God told us to do this, good. But now we came into this culture and they have other rituals and rites that are beautiful rites and rituals that are not exclusionary to our way of life. They enhance it.
Couldn't that be said of the Jews for Jesus?
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, you know, it enhances it. You're not absolved.
No.
But, you know, there are certain sexual rites that the pagans are encouraging that are probably fun. You know? So why is that contradictory? So that's what Eliyahu says there. Poseach al stei ha-se'ifim. If you believe in God, God says no idols. And if you believe in the idols, then there can't be a God. So pick one. Right? Don't say that he is your pastor and he wasn't your pastor and I did know him and I didn't know him. And we have to talk to Iran. You know, don't equivocate. I heard somebody say, this will be my last right comment for the minute. that he has more respect for Reverend Wright than for Barack Obama. Because at least Wright stuck to his guns. Did you say this? Sure I did.
Who said
Reverend Wright. I heard it on the radio.
Yeah, we heard
it
on the radio.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you say this? Yeah. He might be nuts, but he's nuts 100%. He's an honestly nuts, right. Whereas Obama, oh, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't go to church that day. You know, come on. But you didn't know that he went, that you didn't go on a mission to the Million Man March with him? You didn't go to Zimbabwe with him or wherever it was? Come on. It's dangerous. Obama's dangerous.
I said, in this whole mess, the only person who is speaking the truth for himself is Reverend Wrong.
Right. I like Reverend Wrong. Okay. If anybody's an Obama supporter, I guess you probably don't want to raise your hand now. Okay.
How can anybody be? I don't understand. I really don't understand.
Okay. I heard of a rabbi in the Orthodox community who's pushing Obama.
Really?
Yeah, in fact. In the Orthodox community, not in this community. Okay. Okay. We continue with, here we are. Velo anu oto davar, and they didn't answer him. Why didn't they answer him? Look at Rashi. Velo anu oto davar, they didn't answer him. Hold on. I'm just making sure I didn't pass the Rashi I wanted to. Good. Shlo hayu yodim lahavchin. They didn't know how to decide. Can you imagine? Which is it going to be? God or the idols? We don't know. Right? Vayomer Eliyahu el ha'am. Eliyahu said, "Ani notarti navi Hashem levadi, unuviyeh habal 450 ish. I'm alone. It's me against 450 of those guys. One against 450. Fair? I think it's fair. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Sure. Ve'inu lanu shnayim parim, ve'yivcharu lahem hapar ha'echad, ve'yinitchuhu v'yasimu al ha'etzim ve'esh lo yasimu." Tell you what, this is what I'm going to do. You guys take two identical cows. You guys take a cow, and I'll take a cow. Okay? You pick. You take your cow, you cut it up, you put it on the fire, you take your altar, you put it on the fire, you put it on the wood, no fire. Ukratim b'shem et alokechem, v'ani akra b'shem Hashem. And tell you what, they call after their gods, I'll call after my God. Whoever's God answers must be God. Mm-hmm. And so who thought it was a good idea?
Everybody.
Who thought it was a good idea?
What do you mean? Didn't they all agree?
Vayan kol ha'am. Who's the am?
All the people, not the
am. Right. The audience thought, hey!
Oh, I see what you mean.
Sounds fair to us, right? Sounds like a good idea. Well, a little competition to decide the true God.
And the prophets, the most involved prophets are little.
What are they going to say?
Let's find something else.
A commercial break.
What?
Commercial break.
We don't really know. Right. Okay. Vayomer Eliyahu Nevi Haba Bacharu Lachem Apar Echad Vasu Rishonak Yatem Rabim. Tell us, you guys go first. Right? You know, I'm going to go first. You're more. V'kiru v'shem Elohim De'esh Lo Tassim. Yeah, but just one deal. No fire. You go first. Vayichu Et Apar Asher Natan Lahem. So they took the cow. That he gave them, vayasu vayikru b'shem habal. They made the cut it up. They made the altar. And they called out the baal nehaboker v'ad hatzarayim lemor. Morning until afternoon, saying habal aneinu, answer us, fire, take our sacrifice. Ve'ein kol ve'ein oneh. Lo and behold, shock o shocks, nothing. Vayafsechu al hamizbeach asher asa. Okay, they began to do their skipping war dance.
That's kind of
hilarious. Yeah, I'm sure. Unfortunately, that might be adultery.
It was a birthday party for the Indian tribe. I don't know.
Was there any pagan prayer?
Not that I know of. There was no dancing.
Dance to the main god. Their dancing is the form of prayer. That's important to know.
I don't know. He was invited as a guest, and
so just in general, if it is for your all through knowledge, if you're ever invited to a pagan rite, you're not allowed to go. Yeah, no, I'm serious. What? Mm-hmm. Even if they're being nice.
Hasn't come up yet.
Right. Well, you don't hang out on any reservations. even a facsimile of a pagan rite is, you know, how to
I doubt that he didn't tell me much about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, I'm sure. And I'm sure that jewelry is there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's not made for any the Indian god of beery. Okay.
No.
I gotta read you a letter.
Indian hair
Oi.
I gotta. Yeah, that's a good one. I gotta read you a midrash. The midrash says, okay, when they all got together, okay, he said, Mas Eliyahu, what did Eliyahu do? Aralem bachrus ne parim tuomim ne'em achat. I want them to be identical twins, the two cows from one mother. Ve'itilu alehem goralo. Said randomly, he said, well, pick lots, but I don't want you guys to say that my cow is better than your cow. You know, you guys will just do it randomly. One for God and one for the Baal. So then they chose one. Uparo shel Eliyahu miyad min shachachad. Right, so Eliyahu's cow was like, starts walking towards Eliyahu, good, kill me. Va'aparsha alam l'shem ha'baal, but the cow that was that got chosen for the Baal, nikabzu kol neviyeh ha'baal neviyeh ha'asherah. These like 400 or 900 prophets got together. V'lo yachlu lazuzet raglo. They could not get the cow to move. Right? You can imagine the picture of the cow. They're all pushing the cow. They're pulling the cow. The darn cow, like, you know, attacking the cow. And the cow's just, not moving.
Sounds like a mule.
Okay. At shepatach Eliyahu v'amar lo lechi mahem. So then Eliyahu looks at the cow and says, go. Heshiv ha-par v'amar le'inei kol ha'am. So the cow opens its mouth and says in front of everyone, me and my friend Yatsu mi betan achad, we came from the same mother, from one cow. We grew up together. V'hu ala v'chalko shel makom u'smos yakadosh baruch hu mikadesh alav. And what the heck? He gets to be steak dinner for God. What do I? You know what God's going to do to me when he finds out I was the Baal cow?
And that wasn't enough for anybody
to think.
The people like were waiting for this conversation. Fascinating. What's going to do? Amar Eliyahu, par, al tira, lechi mahem, ba'al yinch'u alila. He says, cow, don't worry, you go with them, no problem. Just like that was going to be a Kiddush Hashem, you're going to be a Kiddush Hashem. Well, that's in the Midrash Vayikra Rabba in the Tanchuma.
Wow.
What?
I mean, very few people look forward to martyrdom.
Right.
Unless they're, you know, Arabs.
Well, what was the cow created for?
To make this point.
What was the cow you had for dinner created for?
Thank goodness I didn't have a cow for dinner.
You had its milk.
Because it's an accident.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Okay, but we don't believe that.
Right.
We don't believe that. We believe that God gave us the right to utilize animals for our benefit. Okay. So they choose, and they're crying out, and they're dancing, they're doing their powwow, and their whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop dance, right? And it's not going well. Vayibit Zaharayim, in the afternoon, Eliyahu's good, it's very good. Vayihatel behem Eliyahu, Eliyahu goads them, you know, he's got to turn the knife a little. Vayomer kirubikol gadol ki Elohim hu. Maybe you guys aren't crying, calling out loud enough. He's a busy God. He might be away. He might be in the middle of a war. Maybe he's asleep. Right?
Yep.
You know, could be. What do they do? What?
I've never been taught this.
What do you mean? This is a funny part. This story is hilarious. I mean, Eliyahu is, you know, are you guys sure, man? Did you call the right number?
You know, I mean, the ironic part about it is that they know he's right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're going along with it, but they know he's right.
Have you ever seen people, like, you know, like the videos of, like, people in church that they have these, you know, convulsions and the visions?
Yeah.
And
speaking in tongues.
Yeah. Is it real?
No.
Do they think it's real?
Yes.
Yes, I think they did.
If you're the prophet of the Baal for long enough,
you start believing.
You start thinking the Baal's talking to you.
Okay.
Right?
But wasn't Eliyahu gambling a little bit? God didn't tell him to do this. So how did he know?
He knew he was going to make sure.
Maybe Jasmine
says, go to him and tell him we're going to
make
rain.
It's worth
the first time. I know,
but I mean,
can you, you know, take
advantage of the answer? Obviously, have the answer all day. I would agree with Sufi. He didn't know. God will do what he wants to do. He'll make the decision. And so they're like, they start shrying, you know, like calling out louder, okay, and they started cutting themselves, right, with their swords and with their spears. This is part of the pagan ritual, mm-hmm. right? That's, by the way, one of the things that a Jew is not allowed to do. Lo tikgod to do. You're not allowed to cut yourself, mm-hmm. right? Because that was part of pagan ritual. Ad shafach dam alem, until they spill blood. The Arabs do it too. Wasn't it like a day in like Iraq,
day where they
like to cut them. Each other?
Yeah.
What? Not that. That's it. You're not allowed to cut yourself. Ayika avor hacharayim. And it's like afternoon already, mid-afternoon, and like they're still prophesizing, they ain't called, they don't have any gotcha. Like, you know, you can imagine how they're screaming for like 6 hours. You know, they're like dying, you know, like, come on, ah! You know, fine, they all peter out.
There's no water either.
And they're bleeding.
And they're bleeding, they're cutting themselves, they're dancing, they're screaming, you know. Remember the stolen herbs letters? Anybody ever davening with the stoners? The stoners, they call them the screaming davening. The scream. Have you ever gone to the stoners in Yerushalayim? In Mea Shearim? Whew. It's almost like, you know when you go to like, have you ever been to like the palace? You know, and the Pistons just hit a big three-pointer and the place goes crazy. So it's very, very loud. Imagine that for an hour straight. Like an hour straight, no let up. You begin to get a headache that's at the base of your head. Yeah. No. Am I right? Have you ever been there? It's incredibly loud. It's unbelievable. They feel.
You can't hear yourself.
You literally, I've never been that way. You cannot hear yourself think. And the only way to doubt it is to do it too. Because otherwise, you have to, because otherwise. Yeah, you just, otherwise, it's impossible. Okay. He says to the people, come on closer. And he brings everybody together. And he repaired, he healed. What? What?
I'm thinking of the
Stoller
because it's
the Stoller's yard sign.
Then?
Red is your Sunday.
Fire. This Sunday?
Yeah, we should go hear them. It's
Murray's birthday. Tonight.
So are they going to be here for Shabbos?
Yeah, they're going to be at Thurman.
For Shabbos?
Are they coming for Shabbos
going to
be here for Sunday?
Sunday, New York. Oh, so now we know where you can go, Doug. Mm-hmm. We have the rabbi coming.
I don't know if
the
rabbi's coming.
Oh, Rabbi,
we should go.
I'm going to miss you.
There is no rabbi anywhere.
He's giving me that look. That look.
Perhaps there'll be other options.
We don't want you to know.
Because they usually
always
come to
the
end and
make money in charge. Oh, Lord. But okay. So Rashi asks, what does it mean that he repaired the destroyed altar of God? What altar of God was destroyed? Har HaKarmel. Look at Rashi. Vayafeh Mizbech Hashem Har Banam Mizbeach. He built an altar. Vizkir Lishael Lihiyot Mizbech Hashem Ola Al Libam. What it means is that he reminded the Jewish people that there is an altar that you can bring sacrifices to God too. They become so mired in sacrifices and ritual for paganism that they forgot they could worship God too. Don't you worship? Who do you worship? When you worship, you say to a kid growing up in Israel, mm-hmm. in the time of Ahab, you want to bring a sacrifice? Sure. Who do you bring a sacrifice to? To the idols. Let's bring one to God too. We don't bring sacrifices to God.
I did that already. I'm doing this to this.
Lahavdil, did you hear? Lena told me this. Did you hear my the Dvar Torah? I think Howard, you heard this. Yeah. Right, the Dvar Torah in this past week's Jewish News, Rabbi Jennifer Kolesny.
Yeah, I read it.
Did you read it? Did you read the story? She's going to tell you a great story. It's an amazing story that was told to her by her friend Rabbi Marla Hornstein. I know both women, very nice ladies, and Marla's parents were in town. So they're playing with their grandchildren. So her grandpa said, David, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, yeah, I don't know, grandpa. He said, well, maybe you want to be a doctor like your father. He said, I don't know, maybe. He said, well, maybe you want to be a rabbi like your mother. He said, grandpa, boys can't be rabbis. Only girls are rabbis.
Oh!
It's
often
I told them.
Yeah. She wrote it in the Jewish News. Look how far we've come. Kedoshim to you, men, women, and children. That's what she wrote. Okay. Never. Vayirapei et mizbach Hashem haharus. What is the altar of God, the destroyed altar of God? That nobody even... No, he's not in the Beis Hamikdash. He's in Har Carmel. Very important to know. He's in the Carmel. He's in the north. Like the notion of, says Rashi, the notion of the altar of God was destroyed. There is no such thing. Who brings sacrifices to God? He brings sacrifices to the Baal. So Eliyahu had to at least reintroduce it to them, to show them that you could bring sacrifices to God too. You raise the $1 million question. The multi-million dollar question that unfortunately we're not going to have time to answer today. I knew this would happen because it's a very long time. We have 5 minutes? Okay. The question itself is the answer. What right does Eliyahu have to offer a sacrifice to God outside the Beis HaMikdash? It is clearly Asur. It's a violation of Torah law, Deoraita, to offer a sacrifice outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You know what the punishment is? For someone to distract their sacrifice to God? What's the punishment? You want to take a wild guess?
Karish.
Correct. To intentionally offer sacrifice to God outside of the Beis HaMikdash.
But they used to do that.
Before the Beis HaMikdash built.
In different places.
Right, before it's permitted. Once the Beis HaMikdash was forbidden, the Bamot were Asurim. Right, they prohibited the Bamot, the private altars. No Shtiblach. Okay? And now what's Eliyahu doing?
Reminding them?
Okay. The question, come back, we have 5 minutes, the question is the answer. He took 12 stones as the number of the tribes of Jacob. Yisrael Yeshmecha, to whom God said to him, Yisrael will be your name. And he built the altar out of the rocks in the name of God. He made a te'alah as a moat almost, a trench, a huge trench around this altar. What does he do? A yomer, and he says, Mil'u arba, what's it, vayaroch et haichim, put on the sticks, the wood, vayinatach the power, vayisam al haichim. Right, he puts on the cow and he puts it on the cow's all there. Bayam, and he says, Milu arba kadim mayim. Fill up 4 kadim with water. V'yitzku l'haolav y'alayitzim. Pour it on the altar, and on the wood. Bayam reshnu, v'yishnu, bayam reshalishu, v'yishnu. He says, do it again, more water. Now you wonder where they got the water from. The Midrash tells you, I don't have time. Remind me next week and I'll tell you where they got the water from. V'yilchu amayim saviv l'mizbeach, v'gam etzah te'alam malahi. They poured, they kept, he said, more water. And so the whole moat is filled with water. Now, who's got, how's this thing going to light? Never. How's it light? It's soaking wet. V'yihi ba'alot ha'mincha. When the mincha came afternoon, Bayigash Eliyahu Navi Bayomar, Eliyahu approached, and he said, "Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak VYaakov, God, the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, Hayom Yivada Ki Ata Elokim BiYisrael VaAni Avdecha. Now people will know that you are the God of Israel, and I am your servant. Umivarcha Ashiti Et Kol Hadvarim HaEle. Okay." And in, with your word, with your permission, I've done all of these things. This thing. Aneni Hashem Aneni. Please answer me, God. V'yedu ha'am hazeh ki ata Hashem Elokim, and they'll know that you're God. V'ata hasibota et libam achoranit. We've got to stop with that. We're not going to stop here. We're going to go on. I just leave that phrase, remind me to come back to it. A very important phrase. And you turn their hearts away. Okay? V'tipol esh Hashem. And the fire came down, whoosh, right, and burned the whole thing. The stones, the wood, the animal, gone. Vayah kol ha'am, vayitlu off in the hand. Everybody saw, they fell on their face, vayomru, Hashemu Elokim, Hashemu Elokim. Eliyahu wins, winner! God really is the God. He wins. The question that we're going to stop with, and we're going to leave, is how did Eliyahu have the right to do it? So the Gemara says, the Midrash says, Rashi says clearly, look at Rashi on Lamed Aleph on 31. Says Rashi, let me see in a second. I'm going to find it. Oh.
He says Lamed Aleph?
Lamed Aleph. Yeah. I don't have Rashi.
Yeah.
31. Mm-hmm. Right? Why did he say to God that I said to Yah, to Yisrael, he said, Yisrael, will your name? Lamed Aleph on Rashi. Why did I say that? When God revealed himself to Yaakov on that mountain in Beit El, the Karo Yisrael, and he called him Israel, Bo Bayom Amorlo. That day God said, Goy, the Kahal Goyim Yami Necha, your children will be really great, but Atidi Manecha be Kahal Kishar Amin. Unfortunately, your great, 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 great grandchildren are going to sin and be like the other nations. We believe nobody's Nech Lakhtir Alabashat Isur Habamot. And they're going to have to build an altar even when it's forbidden. But I'm okay with it. Meaning, so how could Eliyahu build an altar to that's forbidden in order to demonstrate God's greatness?
He read Rashi.
God had already permitted it. So here is the trick. Eliyahu says to God, they're wrong. They don't deserve the rain. They sin and they don't get any rain, and I'm right and they're wrong. And what does he do in order to prove himself right?
He does something wrong.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. And what does God do to Eliyahu?
Nothing.
In a sense, God has to, Eliyahu is asking God to do the same thing. I mean, it's a total different thing. Right? They're sinning, so God says, I don't care, I still love them. And Eliyahu decides, I'm going to bring a sacrifice to demonstrate God's presence. You know what God says? It's Eliyahu, I've got to do it. And comes the fire. Not simple, not simple at all. We'll continue next week.